This is the Morning Conversation on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
State Representative Christine Goodwin joining us. She was in the Portland area yesterday for a meeting led by former State Representative Christine Drazen to talk about the impact of Measure 110 and some of the related subjects around that. Christine, good morning.
Good morning, Kyle. Yes, had a big day in Portland yesterday.
So tell us more about the meeting. How many people were there, give or take, and where was it held?
There were a dozen people or so. It was in Northeast Portland, and it was in a facility by one of the community mental health providers called REAP Incorporated. And so Christine Drazen wanted to do is pull together those community leaders, people who have been involved in this problem of drug addiction in our communities, and elected officials. So Rep. Nose and myself were the two elected officials there. And I was representing our concerns from Southern Oregon, and I've been one of those calling for repeal. So she wanted my voice to participate in the roundtable.
And where did some of the other folks who spoke, what kind of groups did they represent?
Oh, there were faith-based groups and groups that had been helping largely in the harm reduction model, which is keeping people just safe in their addiction. And there were peer support folks and just different walks of life in terms of trying to make an impact on drug addiction. But what we're realizing is 110 has just not been working to compel people to overcome their drug addiction. So basically, instead of really requiring treatment, which is really what the public wanted, what the voters wanted with 110, is to compel people to treatment. They can see this is just addiction is just a dead end. And they could see that they didn't want people in jails and hospitals. We really need to help these folks. And we want our communities to be safe. But what has happened with just an E violation, there were over 6,000 violations given last year. And 53 people really even went into an assessment process. So we have huge gaps in really moving people into recovery.
And what were some of the other perspectives that you heard there from some of the other groups?
Well, key person forgot to mention was law enforcement. So what's happened in their hands are just tied. Law enforcement used to be able to connect partnership with the criminal justice system at other community mental health providers. And, people had an option. We want to give you help. We don't want you to go to jail. We want you to go to a diversion program, and we will help you along the way. So that has been disrupted dramatically. So law enforcement is just not able to intervene. Of course, penalties for drug dealers has diminished with the new Hubble ruling overcoming the Boyd ruling. So they are really frustrated. They see these problems in our communities and they want to abate those problems, because what we've done now is we have these really hard drugs, very dangerous and unfortunately cheap drugs like fentanyl on our streets, highly addictive, and they're readily available. And we've just kind of created a class of addicted people who are just living on the streets. They're openly using, they're openly dealing, they're just deeper into their addiction. And so far, our resources have just been sort of sugarcoating this, just keep them safe in their addiction, keep the Narcan plentiful, keep the clean needles plentiful, but there has not been any real leverage, no stick to get people back into treatment, which is where we need to be. That's what the public wants. And I think we've broken their trust.
And I'm sure it came up that Oregon has gone the most far, the furthest, I guess I should say, in decriminalization than any other state in the country.
Yeah. So what do you do when you decriminalize, when you just remove all barriers? So you get what you tolerate. I mean, this is just logic. If you're going to take away any obstacles to people really sustaining themselves in drug addiction, of course you're going to get more of that. And that's what we're seeing. And it's the state is spending lots of money on this problem. I think we need to really stop and take a fresh new look at this. And what is our goal? Our goal is to help people to recovery, because this is not a victimless crime here. Not only is the addict a victim, but it's ruinous to families. It's very costly to the taxpayer. And as this problem grows and grows, there's just a limited amount of resources that we can actually provide to meet the demand. I mean, this is just costly to human lives. I think what we're doing right now is just inhumane. It is not a compassionate approach.
Did the meeting kind of reach a consensus about what should happen next?
You know, I think the true consensus is, and we have former addicts that were on the round table, and they spoke to, a lot of them will say, if it hadn't been for that, the jail was an option. You know, if I didn't get to choose between jail and treatment, that's what moved me into treatment. And former addicts will say it didn't always work the first time. I mean, this is hard work to overcome drug addiction. But my view is, and their view is, you can't just tolerate that. You don't just accept that is always going to be the case. We can say, no, our total goal is to help stop this addiction that we see growing. Of course, drugs were growing, burgeoning on the scene before 110 throughout the United States. And they're pointing to, there were people that have been to Portugal to look at that model, but they don't have fentanyl and meth. We have these really hard street drugs right now that are, and these people that are using, even when you bring them back from overdose, which appears to be many are just arguing, well, just keep them alive, keep them from overdosing. But their brains are terribly damaged from not only the drug use, but even the use of Narcan repeatedly. So now we have people that, and we know that the people on our streets have a real combination of mental illness and drug abuse. So it's very complicated with these people. And the further you allow them to dig into their addiction and their mental damage is occurring, the harder it is for recovery. So I am very certain that the answer is to intervene early, and particularly with our juveniles. We also have very poor numbers in terms of mental health issues and drug abuse in our young people.
With the call for a special session of the legislature seemingly not gaining traction, you're facing a short session in February, 35 days. Do you think the issue will, it'll certainly be talked about, but do you think any action can come out of that short session in relation to Measure 110?
Well, we have both the House and Senate Republicans have just submitted a letter to the governor asking her to consider a fresh start to 110. Let's restore some of the things that actually did work. Let's reinvest. So let's take our resources and target them very specifically. So we have, law enforcement wants a partnership in the community that they can, all right, we take this person to detox and to sobering, and then they've got a 30, so we really have a plan, and they're working with their community partners. So we've called upon the governor. We've given her our concrete. We want to restore the tools that we're working, add the positive ideas that we have that we can help our citizens. And so we really think she's got to play a significant role in this problem in our state. So we'll see how she responds.
Do you feel like you've got some folks across the aisle that are supportive of the Republican move?
They still seem quite reluctant. They're digging in. They seem to want this. They're protecting 110, and I'm not really sure why. I mean, the evidence is so clear. And we've put a lot of money into these nonprofits that have no accountability for what they've been doing with that money. We just have sunk a lot of money into this harm reduction. And so they're very reluctant to come off their position. Some just don't want to touch it at all. We'll see when we get into session how, if there will be a few of those. I think there's a few because they're in the urban area. I mean, I was in town halls all summer. Our smaller communities are realizing this in a huge way. It was one of the biggest topics. So it's not just an urban problem, but the urban representatives, they're getting an earful. There's a lot of pressure to Democrats to, let's rethink this. We all agree that this really needs to be revisited. We need to refresh on this and make sure we're all on the same page with our goals, which is to get people, you know, recovery is hard and it's lifelong, but it is life-saving. These people there's no good outcome to keeping people in addiction.
All right, we're out of time for now. We're going to explore the topic again later today on Inside Douglas County at 12:30 with Christine Drazen. State Representative Christine Goodwin on with us this morning. Thanks for talking with us.
Oh, you're welcome, Kyle. Talk to you later.
8:42 at the Morning Report.